Hello, Marcus. This is Javier, and we have Amelia, Naomi, and Gina here. We're going to talk to you about this cool book we've been reading. It's currently 9:50 a.m., and I guess we're just going to dive right into this. This is How to Lie with Statistics by Daryl Hoff.
It's a weird name. Pictures by Irving Geis.
I would first like to make the point that I don't find most of the book to be compelling. A lot of it seems like you could just come to these conclusions on your own. Though, I will make the point that I thought it was cool or interesting, sorta, that he said that there was one chapter dedicated to the fact that there's different types of averages. So if someone says that the average is this, you can't just believe it, because a median, mean, and a range is an average, and it could be either of those things. What do other people here think about that? For example, I could say...
I found it.
The average grade in the school is a B, but that could be the mean or the median, and we wouldn't know. And both of those things tell a lot of information.
Yeah.
Super compelling.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like the book, though occasionally informative, is kind of like something that could be all summed up in like three chapters, maybe.
I feel like that a lot in chapter four, in chapter five, when they're talking about the graphs.
Yeah, definitely.
When they're talking about how
we could have said that a lot more clearly
and quicker,
and quicker, more concise.
Yes.
Yeah.
There we go.
I really didn't understand what he was saying until I talked to my fellow group members.
I thought
they explained it to me.
The graphic, he didn't even need the chapter. That graphic where he had the people and right there.
Right here.
He can't see it.
He can't see it.
On page 33.
I'll describe it to you, Marcus. So you have someone at the top making $45,000, and right below them is someone making $15,000. Right below them is someone making two people making $10,000. Right below them is one guy making $5,000, and that's the
arithmetical average,
which is the mean. And then you have the median at the very bottom, which is $3,000, and then you have the mode at the very, very bottom, which is $2,000. And basically what this chart is saying is that you can say that the average wage is $5,000, but really most people make $2,000. And more than half of the people make below $3,000. So that was a very informative chapter, Marcus.
And here is a brief commercial message. Are you failing statistics? Do you need help prepping for the next test? Parents won't get off your back about your grades? Then you should go to Mr. Miles' office hours every Thursday in room 505, both X and Y band. Not in statistics? Then stop by Math Lab. Tutors are available every day during lunch in the library. Educate yourself.
We are resuming our podcast after a brief interruption by a Mr. Sonal Reddy. However, what I was saying, though, is that the book points out something interesting, that you should not look at an average, but rather a median, a mode, a mean, and a range together. And that's how you get the full picture.
It's kind of weird, but like after reading this and like just being on Facebook or BuzzFeed and then being like, studies show, blah, 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 before I'd be like, oh, okay. And maybe that's just because I'm like very gullible and naive, but oh, shut up. But now it's like, you know.
No, I definitely think that they're made to make sense. So, like, when you're listening to them, they'll show things that, like, if you showed me the mode and was like, this is the mean, I'd be like, all right, like, that could make sense.
Yeah, you'd be like, cool, thanks.
Like, but I feel like it's once you look into it.
It's because they're showing you the information that
you want to know.
Or that they want you to know, and they don't want you to know.
And you don't think about it while you're reading
the bad
it.
Stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you do, you could totally make sense out of it.
Like at the end of the
you
like
could
at
justify
the end of
it.
The medical commercials for like a prescription drug or something, and they're saying all these wonderful things about it, and then in the end they have to say all the really bad stuff really fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like they don't want you to hear it.
Right, but they kind of have to put it in legally.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like that's what's happening here. But then like even some of the conclusions that this guy comes to like with the first chapter about the Yale graduates and their salary, like, I wouldn't think of half of the things he's like, oh, well, what about the guys who throw that paper out and who don't go to their reunions?
Yeah, it's very, like, going into every single possibility.
But that kind of makes me feel that you'll never know for certain about anything.
Right, so you just can't trust anything.
Which is just
sad.
And how are you ever? Don't trust anyone.
He brings that up. He's like, I don't want everyone to become some statistician now, but you have to if you don't want to be stupid.
Yeah.
Not stupid, just gullible.
Gullible.
Are they synonymous?
Like, I don't know. And some of the tacks seem, like, rudimentary. Like, the whole chapter about the graph. Like, all you have to do is zoom in on the graph. And there was an entire chapter dedicated to that.
Yeah.
Zooming in on the right spot of the graph.
Moral of that story, zoom out.
Just look at the bigger picture.
So I thought it was interesting. I mean, I guess he kind of talked about it with the Yale people, but when he talked about who you're sampling and who they are, I think he brought up a point at one point about the group took, like, one person's life and based the entire experiment off of that one person.
Mm-hmm.
When a whole – oh, he also talked about it with tests, how you can give, like, one school – a test and they could do totally great because of the way they teach their kids.
Right.
And then if you gave it to another class or another school, they would do just as bad. They would do worse. So if you give the same test to a different set of kids, they could do worse just because of the environment in which they've been brought up.
Right.
Still, I feel like that's just common knowledge.
Yeah, but if you base an article off of one school instead of the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you lie with statistics.
And then it was also talking
roll
about
credits.
Title job. It was also talked about, like, with like kids and, like, how old your kids are when they first learn to, like, walk or sit or whatever it was. And then how it was like, you know, everybody grows differently.
But, oh yeah.
You know, nobody takes that into account.
So, if a kid walks one day later,
then it's like
inadequate.
Kids, yeah, below average, which is just stupid.
Tell us your real feelings.
Really stupid. I have an example. I have an example.
Example or a point?
Example.
An exemplary point.
She has an
example. Oh, I thought you were making
a
new point.
A point.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want me to make that?
Go ahead, just speak.
Do your thing, girl.
Okay.
This is Marcus.
There are a lot of studies like that show, maybe, that women who get pregnant when they're older are more likely to have children with birth defects and like just issues. And I think that's definitely like selective sampling, just because my mom was 39 when she had me, and the doctors told her, like, or, like, studies told her, like, articles, everything, were like, your child's gonna be, like, have Down syndrome, you know, all this stuff, and, like...
My sister was born when my mom was 37. She seems pretty all right.
Yeah, so, like, it's just... I don't really know why these samples, like...
They prepare you for the work.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it also has to do with just doctors covering their booties.
Yeah.
To tell you the worst things that could happen just in case.
Yeah, but then like reading that in like a women's health article.
But could it also be like, it could also be a sort of propaganda type thing where they're trying to tell women to have children when they're younger instead of when they're older.
That's always been a thing.
Conspiracies.
Yeah, but
I could spend an hour talking about that.
Why?
Because people are
stupid. So dumb.
Oh, my God.
I mean, like, I don't know. I didn't take this book seriously at first because of how old it was. It's irrelevant. It's from the 50s.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's really.
Yeah, but it hasn't changed that much, which
I know.
Oh.
But after watching the, what's his face?
John.
Yeah, after watching that, I started taking it more seriously because I understood that it's actually worse now.
And it's still very relevant.
Especially because
I think
how
people are getting dumber.
People are.
Well, it's just because the population's getting bigger.
And so like there's more potential for stupid people.
We need a new plague.
Shh.
So what were we talking about? We need a new plague. Oh, yeah. And also because, like, information is, like, spoon-fed to us now through, like,
social media.
Yeah, new social media. It's all, like, right there, and we don't...
Fox.
Yeah, it's not in our nature to question it. Like, we just, like, accept it.
Yeah.
And
or to think about it.
There's, like, right. No more objectivity.
With critical thinking.
Everything's yeah. Given to us through some kind of lens.
Right, and we accept it as a fact.
Instead of thinking about it and trying to, like, find our opinion on it. We just kind of are spoon-fed information.
Well, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
All right, Marcus, I'm going to let you go now. We are. This is Javier, Amelia, Gina, and Naomi signing off from the 5th floor hallway. See you next time.